Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, Text 41. It is the opinion of expert transcendentalists that the ultimate goal of performing all traditional good works, penance, sacrifices, charities, mystic activities, trances, etc., is to invoke my satisfaction. Purport. There are many traditional pious activities in human society, such as altruism, philanthropy, nationalism, internationalism, charity, sacrifice, penance, and even meditation and trance. All of them can be fully beneficial only when they lead to the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The perfection of any activity, social, political, religious, or philanthropic, is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. This secret of success is known to the devotee of the Lord, as exemplified by Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. As a good, non-violent man, Arjuna did not want to fight with his kinsmen. But when he understood that Krishna wanted the fight and had arranged it at Kurukshetra, he gave up his own decision for all intelligent men. He gave up his own satisfaction and fought for the satisfaction of the Lord. That is the right decision for all intelligent men. One's only concern should be to satisfy the Lord by one's activities. If the Lord is satisfied by an action, whatever it may be, then it is successful. Otherwise, it is simply a waste of time. That is the standard of all sacrifice, penance, austerity, mystic trance, and other good and pious works. So Bhagavatam has also stated Sama Evi Kevalam. Anything that is not devotional service is simply a waste of time. Because Tasya Evahita Prayateti Kovido Yet Brahmatam Uparyada, that pious or impious activity may move us upwards or downwards within the universe. By pious activity, we can attain heavenly conditions in higher planetary systems. By sinful activities, we can go down to hellish conditions. But these conditions are non-permanent, and one goes upwards and downwards. So what is the benefit? Therefore, what is the benefit of all these activities, ultimately? Pious activity is not enough. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a mention of different types of pious activity. It is said, karma-unmukhi sukriti, moksha-unmukhi sukriti, and bhakti-unmukhi sukriti. So there are pious activity which are giving us good karma. And so good karma will then give us material enjoyment, even up to the heavenly planets. But then, ksine purcha marcham lokam visanti, when the pious results are running out, again come down to a lower existence. So only temporary gain. So why waste our time with these things? So these pious activities are referred to under the nomer of karma kanda. Karma kanda are ritualistic activities that give us temporary material benefits due to piety. So that's all karma mukhi. Moksha mukhi are pious activities that lead to liberation from birth and death. But even that we are not interested in. Because yenir vindakshya vimuktibaninas tvayastabhavada visuda buriya aruya krichena param padam tata patantyamadrita yusmat angrahaya. If we are not taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is lotus-eyed, then our liberation will never be permanent. And again, we will come down. Because the soul will not be satisfied unless the soul is absorbed in devotional service. So just to become detached from matter is in itself not enough. We can practice so much detachment, and we can successfully attain such detachment from matter. But detachment is not the natural condition of the soul. Rather, attachment is the condition of the soul. But the attachment should not be for lower material objects. The attachment should be for Krishna. Maya Shakta Manaparta Yogi Union Madhasrayaha. We must develop attachment for Krishna. And therefore, only in such attachment for Krishna can one find peace, and can one find shelter. Therefore, Krishna is known as Asraya, the ultimate shelter. There is no other shelter. Everything else can temporarily provide us some shelter. And that may be good at the time, but it will not last. Therefore, why look for all kinds of temporary shelter? Better go for the real shelter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, pious activities are always to be offered to Krishna, because only then pious activities will lead us to Krishna. Now, there are activities in three modes of material nature. And one can come to Krishna from any condition of life. So whether one is situated in goodness, whether one is situated in passion, or whether one is situated in ignorance, one can take up devotional service. However, when one is situated in goodness, it is easier to maintain devotional service. And when one is in the mode of ignorance, it is more difficult to maintain devotional service. The tendency to interrupt that devotional service with some other degraded activity is very great. And even in the mode of passion, that tendency is very great. That we become distracted by sense enjoyment. So, yajna danas tapaschaiva pavaninam manisinam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that such activities of sacrifice, giving in charity, performing austerity are never to be given up, because even saintly persons are purified by these activities. But we always connect such activities to Krishna. Otherwise, we have no interest. So, just fasting? No, we're not interested. I fast every Monday? Not interested. But because it's not particularly connected with the Supreme Lord. But I fast on the appearance day of the Supreme Lord so that I will be free to focus on the Supreme Lord, on remembering Him, so that I will not spend all my time digesting a too heavy lunch, which was too tasty, but yet now makes me a little dizzy and sort of difficult to concentrate after a lunch like that, even on Krishna's lotus feet. No, we will fast and we will absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting so that our remembrance of Krishna becomes stronger. Yes, such fasting we will do again and again. Madhava Titi Bhakti Tanani, because from such fasting, bhakti is born or awakened. But otherwise, I fast every Monday. Big deal. Not impressed, you know. I fast till the cows come home. Good for you. But only giving you temporary benefit. Not impressed. I lived on milk for 1 year. Okay. Did you offer it to Krishna? No. Then useless. Useless. Prabhupada, this devotee, he goes in the middle of the night into the kitchen and then he cooks halva. No. Is he offering it to Krishna? Are you offering it to Krishna? Yes. Then it's okay.
nice. Offer it to Krishna, and everything will become auspicious. Yes. Oh. Eat tons of halva. Oh. Very good. When someone has recently joined the temple and is not taking much prasada, suspicious. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look hopeful. Doesn't look like he's gonna make it. Sorry. He's not taking shelter of prasadam. How will he ever overcome the pushing of the senses and the mind? Pacha vegam manasakrodha vegam jiva vegam udrapasta vegam etan vegam yuvisaheta dhira. Not a simple feat to control the pushings of the senses, the mind, the tongue, the belly, the genitals. Good luck. You try. No shelter. When we don't take shelter of prasad, how will we do it? It is not possible. Therefore, this is Krishna. Krishna has taken this prasad. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a description that Krishna, he takes everything on the plate and he eats it, everything he eats, and then he puts it back on the plate. But because he has eaten it, it is mixed with his saliva. But that's Krishna's saliva, therefore. That special taste in the prasadam. Don't tell the people on the Sunday feast. Yes, don't tell. But that special taste in the prasadam, it's Krishna's saliva. He has tasted it and puts it back on the plate. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So how transcendental is this movement? Anything and everything that Krishna does is wonderful. It doesn't matter. It's not that, well, I like certain pastimes of Krishna. I like it when he plays his flute. That part I like. But when he goes and out of Mathura and he starts killing the army of Jarasandha, and there's a river of blood, and there are heads in which are like rocks, and horses and elephants which are like islands in that river. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, so much. The rivers of blood. I don't like. That's too much. No, that's also blissful. Very blissful. And anyway, all those living beings who are killed by Krishna are getting his mercy. They're getting liberation. 640 million people in Kurukshetra got the mercy. They were killed in front of Krishna. And if you're killed in front of Krishna or by Krishna, liberation from birth and death. So not too bad, actually. But one must have this transcendental vision to appreciate every activity of Krishna. If we start to morally approach Krishna from mundane morality, then we say, wow, you know, your Krishna is a debauchee. Your Krishna is inappropriately dealing with ladies. And the pastimes of Krishna are immoral. Professor Suthers said to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said that actually the pastimes of Krishna are pure and transcendental and never in any way corrupted by mundane inebriety. And the professor was sort of, could you clarify that a little more? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, it's just like a right angle. In a right angle, there is no contractedness. And therefore, the right angle is not affected by contractedness. In the same way, Krishna's pastimes are not affected by any mundane impurity. Professor said, very interesting, and then changed the topic. Went over his head. He couldn't get it. It was too complicated.
Because one cannot approach Krishna by any intellectual pursuit or by any result of pious activity. In a previous life, the professor must have performed pious activity. Otherwise, where did he get such a brain? But somehow or other, all his piety was not enough. The result of that piety may give him a brain, but pantastu koti sattavatsara sampragamyo vayoratapi manasu munipungalana supyasti yat prapadicintya vichincha tatva govindamari purusham tamam bhajami. One cannot touch the tip of the toe of the lotus feet by such processes. Bhakchamamma vijanati. It is only through devotional service that I can be attained, and not by any other means. And therefore, it is 24 hours devotional service. And systematically, we must change our life until everything in our life is connected with devotional service. Everything connected with devotional service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchite. By connecting everything. And if it's not connected, throw it out. If it cannot be connected, it's rubbish. Throw it in the bin. Right? Bin it, as they say. Yes. So simple. In that way, Krishna consciousness is completely consistent. There are no exceptions. There's no exceptions. That, well, but can I have just a few things, maybe? There are a few things that we can have that are kind of useful, but maybe not directly for Krishna service. No. No, can't have any. Sorry. Out. All of it. The whole lot. Everything. I mean,
not a little bit?
No, not a little. Absolutely nothing. Everything must be connected with Krishna. Yes, completely. Totally. Everything, every moment, everything we have. No exceptions. That's pure devotional service. And only then, and then only, will a living being be satisfied. And otherwise, never satisfied. Bahu saki anantas cha. Many branched, looking here, looking there, maybe this, maybe that, maybe yes, maybe no. No. Yes, maybe not. I think so, but I'm not sure. Anxiety, uncertainty. Is it good? Is it really good? Shall I marry? Shall I not marry? Shall I marry? Shall I not marry? Shall I marry? Shall I not marry? Shall I not marry? I don't know what to do. No, I don't want to do that because it doesn't look good. Yes. But you cannot live a life of avoiding things that are not good. If marriage doesn't look good and you don't want to get involved with it, forget it. You know, babies, they're ugly, they make noise, and they smell. Three reasons, right? Three reasons. Not to get involved. Right? No, I'll give that a miss. Thank you for the offer. No. Right. Yes. A house. Yeah, it's nice, but you gotta pay a big bill for it. No, forget it. Forget it. Gotta work for that. Gotta have a job. Don't like job. No. I will also avoid all that. Good for you, but not good enough. Because we cannot spend a whole life avoiding what are you going to embrace. Embrace? That's not in the Brahmachari handbook, Maharaj. Embrace. Embrace, yes. What are we going to embrace? How can you live a life without embracing? I mean, this class is getting too much. We're walking out, you know. But how can we live a life without embracing?
unless we embrace the sweetness of Krishna's lotus feet, how can we ever be satisfied? No, I don't want this. No, I don't want that. And then one day, I'm tired of not wanting things. It's time to want something. This is exactly found in Nietzsche's writing, you know, thus spake Zarathustra. The story is basically there was this sage. There was a sage. And he had been living in a mountain cave for a long time. And one morning, the sun finally came around the corner. Finally, around the corner of the mountain, finally, the sun came to the edge of the cave, and then, yes, finally, the sun was shining into the cave. And the sage was thinking to himself that sit in this cave any longer. I'm going down the mountain. And the sage came down the mountain, and people saw him and thought that he had seen the light. And he had seen the light, because after all these years in this cave of a life of self-denial, of denying himself everything, he had found one thing. He had found that he didn't find God. And therefore, and now it was enough. Enough it was. And he was returning to the earth. Oh yes, he was. For the good of the earth. Oh yes, he was. Because he was tired. Tired and tired of just focusing on some ideal that was never attained. So this is a challenge to us. Our sage is a challenge. Are we going to find ourselves one day in our cave? After 20 years of chanting Hare Krishna every day and still not loving Krishna and still not loving chanting either, are we just going to sit there one day and after 20 years and think, oh boy, I gotta chant my rounds again. I just finished them from yesterday. And again, oh God, here's my beat back. Just thought I got rid of it. It's worse than a boomerang. It always comes back. Always. And again and again. After chant. And no love. Where is the love? I looked for love for Krishna. But I haven't got any. Not a drop. Then what? Will we then also start thinking of coming down from our cage, from a cave, from the little cave that we have created, built of four regulative principles, and built of the aspects of sadhana bhakti and prescribed duty? No. Can't we just be free and just one morning, just do what you want, just whatever it is, let it come into your head. Whatever it is, and just do it. Couldn't it be that? Just be human again, maybe once for a moment. All this prescribed activity. So This is the result of a spiritual life of not this, not that, not this is forbidden, that is not allowed, here is a regulative principle, and this we must follow, and that is our duty, and this is a prohibition, and that is inauspicious, and that is offensive, Prabhu, and that is not allowed. And that is my spiritual life, and that is what it has been. That it will be hard, hard to maintain. We must explore. You must find out how Krishna is really wonderful. The residents of Vrindavan, yes, there is a chapter in the Krishna book how they are discussing wonderful Krishna and they can't stop talking. Wonderful Krishna. How wonderful is Krishna? How wonderful is Krishna? Please tell me. How wonderful is Krishna? He has lotus eyes. Okay, wonderful. What do they look like? Well, like lotuses. Why are they like lotus eyes? Why? The shape. Is that all? Well, I guess so. Is there more? Yes. His eyes are. Is the white of his eyes is slightly pink. Like the color of pink lotus petals. Really? Yeah, really. And what's the color of Krishna's eyes? What color? Quiet. Blue? Does Krishna have blue eyes? Brown? Golden? Multiple choice, please.
Quick, put a cross. Yes.
Anyone?
Brown.
You should have gone blank. Krishna's eyes are black like bumblebees. Black like bumblebees. Just amazing. Restless.
That Krishna is looking at her only. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, no, that's actually not how it is. Because Krishna in Vrindavan, he doesn't expand himself. He does in Dwarka. There he expands himself. In Vrindavan, there is only one Krishna. But then, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur Maharaj, we see in the Rasa dance that there are many Krishnas. Yes, you are seeing. But actually there is only one Krishna. But he moves so fast that it looks as if he's everywhere and as if there are many Krishnas. He says, because in Vrindavan there is only one Krishna. This is what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says.
Vrindavan, only one Krishna. Yes, only one Krishna, no expansions in Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan the focus is not in any way mixed. No. The focus is 100% only on Krishna, and nothing else, nothing with such intensity that there is no question of Krishna manifesting more forms. Only one form, and everyone is focused on that one form. Interesting. Very deep, actually. Never thought of that. No. One will never think of that, because only a great self-realized acharya like Vishwanatha Chakravartitaka will think of that. And we will never think of that until we have a look at what Vishwanatha Chakravartitaka actually wrote. Gee, yeah. And then we read what Prabhupada wrote, and then we read what Vishwanatha Prabhupada wrote. This is super interesting. This is exciting, actually. This is something different. This is new. This is not the same old thing. One must dig deep. And then one can collect the treasures and the jewels. And then one can awaken the taste. Ah, taste. Then there's no cave. Sometimes it is said that the sannyas ashram, right, is very difficult, very narrow. Because zero sense gratification, that's difficult. Only devotional service. Sometimes it is compared to walking on a tight rope. I guess the danda you can use to balance. So a tight rope high up, and it's difficult. You have to, you don't look down. Everybody knows. When you walk on the tightrope, you look at your goal, where you're going, straight ahead to one point only. And then you walk with full concentration, and then you can walk across. Ooh, very narrow, because it can fall down any moment. Sometimes they say sannyas is like that. But when there is attachment to Krishna, then that tightrope becomes wider and wider. It becomes as wide as a highway. And no more need one for balancing. One can just walk. Because when one is attached to Krishna, one will automatically look only at one thing. Only at one point. Then one can easily walk across. One will not experience it as narrow at all. When we are attached to Krishna, these sannyas vows of renunciation are not narrow at all. They're very wide, because we're actually realizing that Krishna is unlimited, and there is the sannyas ashram is only providing time and space to focus on all these things, because you don't have to bother in getting a job, in paying bills, in looking after so many things. Just free for Krishna. And Krishna, and even when you deal with people, it's only about Krishna. Even when you talk to someone, you don't have to speak, well, our company has produced a very nice product, and actually you might consider using it, because it may just be very convenient in your production line, and you know, it would bring down the cost of your production line tremendously. And we can just show you some graphs here of the possible profits that you could generate over the next 3 years. You know, our experts have calculated this for you using our specific design software, which is patented, but which, you know, for a very minimal rate, our company can supply. You want to buy? We love your money. Oh, thank God. Thank God I don't have to do this. Oh, thank God I don't have to sell vacuum cleaners. it's vacuum cleaners. Oh, but they must be used for Krishna. Yes. Only. For nothing else.
So with that, I have used up a lot of time and I won't ramble on. And maybe it is time for your questions.
About that person in the cave and the rules and the regulations. And can you tell us how we can get past that stage of duty and come to spontaneous devotion to Krishna?
Can I tell how to get over the stage of just duties and rules, regulations and so on, and come to the platform of spontaneously serving Krishna? Well, there's a simple point, and that is that Krishna is all attractive. And there's no doubt about that. And therefore, the process is simple. Just find out more about Krishna. And the more we find out about Krishna, then sooner or later we'll become attracted. You know, it's like a current. So you step in the Ganga on the side and you sort of feel the water is pulling a little, but not so much yet. Then you go a little deeper and then you go, at one point you go in really deep and then it's just the current just grabs you. There's no question of in the beginning when you go in the water, you have to push yourself, you know, you have to make swimming movements to go forward. Once the current grabs you, I tell you, you know, all you have to do is float. Like that. So all we have to do is explore more and more. Find out about Krishna. What he did, how did he do it? And the more details you get, the more amazing it gets. I first joined in Vrindavan, in the temple, and it was very nice, but then I had to go back to Europe, and in between I became sick, I got jaundice, and it was knockout, and for 5 months actually, and then I moved into the temple in Amsterdam, but in those 5 months my Krishna consciousness had gone down a little bit, so I was smoking, and I took a deep puff, and threw my cigarette away, the very last one, the last puff of the last cigarette I was ever going to smoke, rang the doorbell of the temple. They opened the door, and I said, I would like to move in the temple. So the devotee said to me, sit down. And I sat down. He said, read that magazine. Yeah, so, okay. It was a Bhaktivedanta. I said, I've already read that magazine. He said, it doesn't matter. A devotee can read it again and again. And he let me sit there for a long time. I guess he forgot about me. And I was reading that magazine over and over. And I must say, I got a lot of realization that day. Because as I was reading the same thing again and again, I started to notice all kinds of details that I had missed. And it went deeper and deeper. And my whole appreciation was increasing and increasing. We should read deep. But we're not used to it, because Bahusakhi and Antascha, because of restlessness, Chanchalam Kimala Krishna. We look here, there, everywhere. Can I enjoy this? Well, maybe I can enjoy that. Yeah. Can I enjoy this? Maybe also. Oh, how about it? Oh, yeah, what was that? Yeah, here, there, yeah. pussy, so soft, you know. Enjoy all the different senses at the same time as much as possible. Okay, meanwhile, no focus, no absorption, everything just spaced out, you know. Huh? What did I just eat? Oh, I don't know. Ice cream, what did it taste like?
I don't know. It was cold. That was about it. I didn't notice it. I was too busy with too many other things. Focus. Complete focus. Stop all these other things. Go in the cave of regulative principles. Stop everything. But do not just stop everything. No. Fill that space. Fill it with Krishna. Dig, dig deep.
Don't just chant it and again.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Go deep in the mantra, deep. Put the mind in deep. Concentrate here, chant deep. Make the sound. Like Satsarupa Maharaj used to say, move the lips. Hare Krishna. Ping, 16 rounds. You also have counting beats like that. Mine at 16, I pull down the last counting beat and then say, ping. First, we are on the shore of bhakti, right? And we sort of stick our toe in the water. That's not too bad. It's like, it's okay, actually. And then we say, okay. Put the feet in a little bit, and then slowly we go up to the waist, and then we go a bit deeper. Get serious now. Start chanting, serious, and so on. Start reading the Bhagavatam. So, in that way, you know, by fixing ourselves in a good number of rounds, chanting some extra rounds when we can, reading, all these things. In that way, we go deeper, deeper than the waist. And then one day, whether you're afraid or not, one day the current's going to grab you. But it will be good. It's good. Premam vitam bunidi see it like a river. It's an ocean. It's actually an ocean. Not a river, it's an ocean. Beyond me, an ocean of nectar. Nectar in all directions.
Ahoy, anything? You see anything? Anything on the horizon?
Only nectar. It's an ocean. There's just love in all directions. And the eyes open. The eyes were closed. And slowly we open our eyes. Oh, what's that? That's a river. What's that? Oh, Bhakti, check it out. But at one point, geez, man, there's just love. There's just Krishna's mercy, Krishna's kindness, and his devotees' kindness everywhere. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It's overwhelming. Like that. I mean, I don't know. I've just read about these things. I've heard about these things. I'm just, you know, thinking, shall I put my toe in the water or not? I'm not sure. You think I should? Maybe they're crocodiles. This chanting of Hare Krishna, I wonder what it does to you. Is it a form of hypnosis or prasadam? I don't know. What is it? Devotees, I mean, you know, are they up to any good? Are you sure? It's not dark or something, you know, what they do. Some strange rituals. I mean, I just went to Germany and I came to this temple and it's all dark brown and there's this big black deity and it's all stories about intestines and blood everywhere. Teeth like thunderbolts. Vajranaga, Vajranada. Intense. Be sure it's not some sort of dark movement. Are you really sure that you haven't been kidnapped by a sect? What if the whole Hare Krishna movement is a sect after all and you were just in it? What if it's all true? They say that you're brainwashed. What if you're brainwashed? Anyway, you can stay home and never go out. It's safe, very safe, because you know everything. But there's one problem. It's totally boring. So sometimes you just gotta do it. Venture out and, you know, do something wild. Go into a street where you've never been. Oh my God. Where will you wind up? You know, in some dangerous part of town. You don't know what's gonna happen. But sometimes you just gotta do it. Venture into the unknown. Try bhakti and see what happens. Plunge in. Some fear maybe then. But as we are getting taste, it's not that bad. It's kind of okay. I'll have another pakora. So little by little, we become convinced by the taste. Now, look at the deities. They're very beautiful. And then when you serve them, then they become alive. Want to try? Like this, you know, little by little we try and we get something back on the way. And because we get something back, we'll become convinced. Then we want to go deeper. Can't wait. Let's go into that ocean of nectar. All right. I'm still a little tired from
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.